Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Speaking of looking behind the scenes, before we get to our adventures in Des Moines, we have a very special guest with us today here in the studio. We have started a new thread of focus on KHOI, which was started by our reporter Jim Werbel, which we call Hidden Treasures of the Community. And this person is that. Dennis Jones is our landlord. And we are very pleased that we've been able to convince him to step out of the background for a few minutes and take just a little bit of time out of his busy schedule to be on the air with us. Welcome, Dennis Jones.
Thank you.
Dennis, we've known each other now for almost 3 years, or a little more than 3 years. You had only recently bought the building when we talked to you about moving in.
Yes. The previous tenant was a dry cleaner, which the building was actually built for. Way back in 1925. And following that, I bought the building, and the cleaning establishment that was there at the time moved on, and it was vacant. And one Saturday morning, Ursula was peering at the window, and we became acquainted.
And you and your wife were on a scaffold, as I remember, painting,
yes.
Doing something on the ceiling of the building.
I think it was on coat number 3 or 4, something like that.
Dennis, is this your first commercial building?
Yes, yes. This is the only one that we've ventured into.
Tell us about buying the Pantorium. What motivated you to do that?
Well, I've been looking for a place that our local bicycle club could re-energize ourselves and sell used bicycles like we had done before for several years. And the club had kind of petered out a little bit, and we were looking for a spot. I have materials in my basement and places. Friends' basement and garage were overrun, and so we were looking for a spot. And this building had potential for both rent and income that way. Was a beautiful building, or at least I thought it was. And so it just kind of intrigued me at a time when I was ready to invest a little bit of money.
So you're saying that the bicycle club was really a major motivation for buying the building?
Well, it was a motivation. I'm not sure that it was a strongest motivation.
Uh-huh.
Probably looking at investing and planning ahead towards retirement and something I could work on was actually a little more of a motivation.
Uh-huh. And I've always gotten a very strong sense from you just that the building's presence itself was something that inspired your interest, that you liked the historical aspect of it and kind of just the beauty of this building.
Yeah, and some of that came about after I bought it. I learned shortly after that the building was actually part of the long-term plan for the Ames Historical Society. They had it in their vision that they might expand here into the building for a display area. Actually, it kind of surprised me, but it was intriguing. And in that process, I got a hold of a copy of the set of the plans that they had. And I learned, as I looked at the plans, I recognized the drawing and the drafting style that was on the plans. And did some further research. I used to work at Iowa State University in the Agricultural Engineering Building, Davidson Hall, and I recognized that the plans had been drawn by the same person or the same firm. And so I did some further research, and Alan Holmes Kimball was the architect involved, and there's a history back there that he designed the reconstruction of Davidson Hall back in roughly the 30s, I believe. And he also designed this building along with several other structures around town.
So the Pantorium really is historically significant in terms of architects that were in this community.
Yeah, and it also shows up on the study that the historical architectural historian Will Page did of the downtown buildings. And it represents a style or a going away from the Victorian style of the old buildings to ones where you have the glass front, transom windows, the kickboard area out front that was all part of or consistent with the facade program that the City of Ames is trying to put forth as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a revelation. This building was, I don't know, I think the word is neglected for many years. I grew up in this town bringing my dry cleaning here and kind of assuming that this building wouldn't last too long because it was in pretty bad condition. And being in the building now and seeing the work you're doing here has really been a revelation because it's a really very beautiful building and very solidly built.
Yes, it is real well built. Mm-hmm. Terrazzo floors, concrete foundation, lots of things that aren't present in a lot of the downtown buildings around here, or at least several of them don't have that kind of a luxury. The basement, 17-inch thick concrete walls, elaborate things, the structural floor system between it, and so on.
The fur vault in the basement?
Yes, yes.
There is a fur vault in the basement. Which you said used to be actually the coal chute, right, or the coal room.
It looked like it was the original coal room for the building, and then at some time or other it changed the furnace probably to oil. Mm-hmm. And at that time, then they blocked that wall off, and there's a big steel, looks like a bank vault door.
It does, yes. Into it's kind of fancy.
And our understanding is that was where, in older days, people that would have furs and valuables that they need to keep in a secure area and also keep free of moths and so on. That way would bring them to the dry cleaner and store them over the winter or I guess maybe over the summer.
It's interesting to think that there were enough people in Ames with fur coats that it warranted a fur vault. It's interesting.
Well, now, I guess we don't have a history of knowing if that paid off or not, but certainly the improvement was there.
When we moved into the building, the first thing that everybody said to us all the time was, "You're not taking that sign down, are you?" And so this is just to say, no, the sign is here to stay. In fact, one of these days we're going to make sure it gets lit up again.
Yes.
But when I was young, I always assumed that this was a dry cleaning building in an old movie theater because it had this ostentatious neon sign on the front that said Pantorium, which I thought sounded kind of grandiose. But apparently the operative word in that is pant. And, in fact, a pantorium is a dry cleaner's.
Right. Apparently it was a word developed somewhere in the teens or 20s or thereabouts. And it derives from the word pants or a Latin word, actually. And of the pants, I think, is
the
term that that has. But it apparently was a commercial brand name or business name that a firm used associated with that. There are pantoriums around the country, although as you Google and search them, there are very few and far between.
Yeah.
Most of them, of course, gone out of business, but was there. Even in my hometown of Atlantic, I found a 1915 article that talked about the Atlantic's best pantorium.
Uh-huh.
Which was clearly named a dry cleaner's. It wasn't identified as a pantorium in the name, mm-hmm. but the pantorium was the function that it that it achieved.
Well, and we still do have people coming in with their laundry. It's petering out bit by bit, and then we have people coming looking for their laundry too. So slowly but surely, the past fades away. Did you ever think that you would have a radio station in your building?
No. Well, we hadn't really thought too much about what our tenant would be. We saw this as a viable area. The downtown is growing and becoming more viable down here. So we had faith that there would be somebody that would be interested in it. And I had heard I'm a member of a Qantas Club, and Roger Parmenter had actually given us a program about a year earlier. And the morning that you introduced yourself to us, well, it kind of all connected.
So well, thank you so much. Thank you, I think, from all of us for not only letting us have this beautiful home, and it has made all the difference in the world, but also just for being the kind of landlord you are. I mean, I can't think of one person that just doesn't love it when you walk into the building. you know. And
that feels good too.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great to be your tenant, and you've been just a wonderful landlord. Thank you. I just wanted to mention real briefly, you are actually a chief of operations at the Animal Disease Laboratory. Is that correct?
Actually, I'm phasing into retirement, so my replacement has now started out there. And I'm trying to do some training for him and so on. But, yeah, I was the chief facility engineer at the National Animal Disease Center, National Centers for Animal Health.
Even though in our world, you being our landlord is really what makes you the biggest treasure in the world, I have a feeling that the real contribution you've made lies much more in that area in your career at the laboratory. And you were before that at Iowa State, right?
Yeah, it's been a number of years ago. In Iowa State, though. So
can we get you to come back sometime after you've retired to talk about, give us some understanding of what's happening at the Animal Disease Laboratory?
And oh, certainly. And we could arrange for the director or other folks out there that would be glad to tell the community more about what goes on out there.
Okay.
We don't get asked very often, and it's nice to share what progress we make out there.
Yeah, and it's actually a pretty significant part of our community.
It is now.
It'd be nice to kind of pull that into the awareness here at the station.
Yeah, in the last 10 years, the government's made roughly $500 million worth of investment in the facilities out there. So it's a big facility now.
Uh-huh. How long were you working there?
I'll finish out 24 years this spring.
24 years.
Yeah.
So it's... Can you just share maybe one thing about your understanding of it as an institution?
Well, they do applied research, so they're really looking at trying to solve disease problems in livestock and significantly important diseases to livestock as well. And then they were also heavily involved in the avian influenza outbreak, determining what the patterns are with that, diagnosis of those, and helping to develop strategies.
Okay. So. Well, thank you, Dennis. It's such a pleasure to have you here. I really appreciate the work you've done to make this building increasingly beautiful for us.
Well, thank you.
And the spirit within which you do it.
Yeah.
Is.
And you've been great tenants, and we want to keep that going as well. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.